weekly pulse on all things green and gold with the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde, who's here in Milwaukee. Jason Wilde, Alex Stroph with you on Weekly Wilde. Hi, Jason.
Well, it's not like we haven't worked together in person many, many times before on Green Bay game day, etc. But yeah, this is a change of pace for Weekly Wilde.
Change of pace, indeed. No change of pace at the special teams coordinator and assistant head coach job. Heyo. Rich Bisaccia signs an extension with the Green Bay Packers, a guy that has been heavily criticized, obviously, for a lack of improvement, if you will, with that unit. But it sounds like Bisaccia back for at least another 2 years. What do you make of that extension?
Well, at least another 1 year. He was going into the last year of his contract. Unless your name is Jerry Jones, generally speaking, you don't want coaches, whether they're head coaches or assistants, going into the final years of their deals. They don't want that. And so Matt LaFleur did extend him by a year. Tom Silverstein of the Journal Sentinel was the first one to report that. But look, I understand. The only worse job at Lambeau Field than special teams coordinator, I think, has been defensive coordinator. And having listened to KBN on Wednesday, reacting to Tausch, talking about where the Packers' defense was at, even now with a defense that was sixth in the league in scoring, fifth in total defense, fourth in takeaways, people still don't think the defensive coordinator has done that great of a job. So, you know, look, from Bisaccia's perspective, you know, and this is going to sound ridiculous, I used to love when Dom Capers would come in and say, well, let's start with the positives. And then he would say something about the run defense, where if you take away the 60-yard run and the 42-yard run, we only allowed on the other 24 carries an average of 2.2 yards per carry. Yeah, but the other two runs count, Dom, and he knew that. But, you know, their coverage units were actually quite good. They were second in the league in terms of starting field position after kickoffs. And Brandon McManus does not have the huge leg that he was constantly kicking touchbacks, so that says your kickoff coverage unit was good. And up until they got snookered on a 94-yard punt return with the little trickeration that the Bears ran, their punt coverage unit was pretty damn good, too. And their punter was good. You know, their kickoff return guy was a two-time first-team All-Pro. They changed the rules for kickoffs. Not a whole lot of production there, not a lot of opportunity there. I would say that Jaden Reed was pretty inconsistent as a punt returner.
Definitely.
Inconsistent catching the football. He also had 10 drops as a receiver, and I think he's got the potential to be a really great player. But he did not make as big of a jump in either of those areas than even he was, I'm sure, expecting. And then obviously the kicking situation, right? I mean, if you spend an entire year with a rookie kicker and he misses more kicks than anybody in the NFL, that probably leads to your special teams being ranked lower than you would like. And then you start a season with a rookie kicker who misses more kicks to that point in the season than any kicker in the NFL before you added Brandon McManus to replace him. That's going to hurt your numbers. So I don't think Rich Bisaccia is bad as Packers fans think he is. At the same time, he was brought in with a lot of fanfare and a lot of money, and he has not been as good, and their units have not been as good as you would expect, given his track record, given his reputation, and given his contract.
All right, good insight there. Rest of the coaching staff, we've heard lots of news, right? This guy's taking an interview here. This guy's taking an interview here. Outside of Jason Rebrovich, who was fired as the defensive line coach, it seems like the rest is going to stand pat entering 2025, unless I'm missing something in terms of the coaching staff. Seems like pretty much everybody's back.
Yeah, obviously, and you know this already, the retirement of Tom Clements obviously leaves an opening for the quarterback's coach, and they did not fill it with Luke Getsy, who was the quarterback's coach before he left to take the Bears offensive coordinator job, which led to the return of Tom Clements at Aaron Rodgers' behest. And so I thought it was interesting that it has not been officially announced. I talked to someone inside the building who said they're going to wait to make a full staff announcement once they've got everyone in place. They don't have a defensive line coach. They don't have a quarterback's coach. But I thought it was really interesting that they did not give Luke Getsy the quarterback coach title. He instead is a senior offensive assistant. I look forward to talking to Luke and asking him, what do you do around here?
I was just about to say, what does that mean?
So we'll have to wait for that a little while longer. But, you know, again, I know Tausch has been beating the Dan Orlovsky drum. I don't have any evidence that would indicate the Packers are actually interested in taking him out of the TV realm and into the coaching realm. I still think it's most likely that it's Sean Mannion, who basically got a year of an internship, if you will, of being a quarterback's coach. Obviously, former backup in the league. Him or Connor Lewis are the two in-house candidates that are obvious. But, yeah, they got, you know, of the three known candidates that have interviewed for the defensive line job, two of them have gotten jobs elsewhere. So we'll have to wait and see. It's former Bears defensive coordinator Eric Washington, who is the last remaining known candidate who is still available.
Okay, we will see on that. What do you think the timeline on something like that is to roll out the whole staff? And
yeah, sooner the better, right? I mean, they've got this. You know, coaches don't go to the scouting combine anymore, which is still strange to me. I don't understand that. COVID changed a lot of things. Obviously, a lot. You know, Tausch and I, we function pretty well not being in the same place. And Tausch would tell you that we're better than when we're together. We're not very good, but. I'm surprised that so many coaches have decided it's not worth their time and effort to go to Indianapolis. But ideally, you would like to have your staff intact in time for you to be able to start working on your offseason. How, you know, to me, the biggest thing offensively is how are you going to get Jordan Love to make the big jump? And how are you going to marry what Josh Jacobs does so well with your passing game, because those two things did not occur this season.
Yeah, no doubt. I want to go back to something you said. You know, I know it was brought up yesterday on Wilde and Tausch, and something you said in your Versace answer at the beginning. And that is the fact that the Packers held the NFC champion Eagles to 22 points in the wild card round. That's the lowest they scored in three playoff games so far. The defense was a top five unit for the most part in terms of statistically this year. Do you think they're closer to championship level than this offense is after 2024?
I do. I mean, look, I'm eager to see what Brian Gutekunst does in terms of roster building on that side of the ball. He obviously hit three, you know, I don't know if they're all home runs. It looks like Edgerrin Cooper is definitely a home run.
It's going to be a home run.
It looks like Evan Williams is, you know, if not a home run, then a triple off the top of the wall that the defense is struggling to wrangle the ball.
You're proud of that one.
Could even end up being an inside the Parker if he wants to stretch it. And then Javon Bullard, they're obviously excited about as well. Right. You know, I don't know, Tyron Hopper, a third-round pick linebacker, is he a guy that, you know, they move on from Eric Wilson, who's a free agent, and he gets more opportunity. Isaiah McDuffie is also a free agent, so there's some questions at linebacker. But look, I think that defense is very much headed in the right direction. I think they've got the right guy running it. I think if they can either have a different defensive line coach or different personnel on the defensive line that can generate more pass rush, that will make them even better. So I do think they're closer. But of course, had we had the same conversation, had this program existed on January 30th, 2024, which was the day before they hired Jeff Hafley, we would be saying the offense is much closer, right? Because of the way Jordan Love played and the fact that, you know, Aaron Jones ran for 100 yards in each of the final five games, including the two playoff games. So that's how it feels now, but we have not had free agency. We've not had the draft. There's a lot of question marks. And when we came out of the draft last year, did we know Edgerrin Cooper was going to be able to perform the way he did? Did we think Evan Williams could be a starter on day one? I mean, you know, we didn't even know he was going to be a starter when he was in training camp. So they've got some pretty talented guys on that side of the ball. They've finally got a coordinator that I think really knows what he's doing. Whether or not that's championship level in 2025, I don't know.
But that's such an example of this being a year-by-year league, right? Like the offense goes bananas those last five games of 2023. Last year, it seemed like the defense was the much more consistent unit. So we don't know what's going to come in 2025, obviously. But it'll be interesting to see how Brian Gutekunst approaches this offseason. What's keeping you, like, up? No, maybe not up, but what's keeping your mind cooking here as we enter the early stages of the offseason? Is there something you're wondering as we approach free agency in a couple of months and obviously the draft in Green Bay? Is there any Brian Gutekunst-related thought where you're like, I wonder how he approaches this. Is there anything that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's keeping me up at night is that we've got Sydney competing in a gymnastics meet on Friday. a basketball tournament on Saturday and a volleyball tournament on Sunday, and then Maddie competing in a gymnastics meet on Sunday evening. So it's going to be a crazy weekend.
Divide and conquer? How do we?
No, I think we're able to. I think we're able to stick together on all of it. The Gutekunst angle, which is what people really care about as opposed to my family, I'm really curious, what is he willing to do to improve from a personnel perspective outside of the draft? Because this draft class, I don't know if anyone has been as foolish as Joe Shane, the general manager of the Giants, to let Saquon Barkley out the door and Xavier McKinney out the door.
Gotta wonder how he's feeling this week.
I just wonder how many other teams have players of that caliber that they're going to let walk out of their building. Because Goody has said it many times, players like Xavier McKinney aren't usually available. And I do think there's maybe been a renaissance with running backs too, so the Packers aren't the only ones who benefited from adding a new running back to their equation. But what are they going to do on defense? You know, I know Packers fans are kind of letting their imaginations run wild with the idea of Max Crosby. You know, Goody was asked in his season wrap-up press conference what his philosophy is on trading premium draft picks for existing players. And he said, you'd better be right. That was the first; those were the first four words out of his mouth. Now, is Max Crosby, A, available, right? I mean, you know, the Raiders can certainly sign him to an extension, get him more guaranteed money, and have him stay with their team. He's got 1 year left on his deal. They've just hired a Super Bowl winning coach in Pete Carroll. So maybe the dynamic there has changed. But he was talking after the season about wanting to win, and he has not done that very often. In fact, I think the only time that he made the playoffs during his time with the Raiders was when Rich Bisaccia took over as the interim head coach. I know Josh Jacobs and Rich Bisaccia and Keyshawn Nixon were all in Las Vegas with him. They all know about him. Josh Jacobs said after the season that he planned on doing some recruiting. So I'm sure he's been in Max Crosby's ear. Now, I know he said on his podcast that they're working toward working things out, but things change. But that's the kind of player that I would think would be the exception that proves the rule with Goody, that he'd be willing to maybe consider giving up some draft capital. But again, when you've had the kind of drafts he's had the last couple of years, you feel pretty good about your ability to identify players. And the big point that he made was, when you make a trade like that, not only are you giving up the assets from a draft perspective, but you're taking guys that will be on rookie contracts and very affordable, which they have plenty of them right now, and they're about to figure out who they're going to extend. Now you're giving that up because obviously Max Crosby, if you were to acquire him, he would require a new contract, and that would be expensive. And you've already paid Rashawn Gary and not gotten a great return on your investment to this point.
So, number one, you're kind of fanning the flames a little bit in terms of the rumor mill. We saw a picture of Brian Gutekunst talking to new Raiders general manager John Spytek at the Senior Bowl in Alabama this week. But the other part of that is, and you would know better than me, but I don't know, when you're building out a roster, are you looking at the money allocated to each room, right? Because you mentioned Rashawn Gary's already paid so much money. Kenny Clark has already paid so much money on the defensive line. I imagine if they're looking at how much money they're investing in that position group, they're like, do we really want to bring in another huge contract type player? I guess I don't know what the philosophy is, because they're obviously not, to your point, spending a ton of money on linebacker right now, but they would be spending an outrageous amount of money if they were to go acquire somebody like a Max Crosby in the defensive line room.
Yeah, although on the flip side, they could get out of both Kenny Clark's contract and Rashawn Gary's contract after this season. So theoretically, it would be a one-year imbalance with the spending in that room. But I don't know if Goody looks at it that way or not. You know, he does have a lot of cap space to work with. One of the things that he did say, though, is that obviously they've got some guys finishing out their rookie deals. I mean, the 2022 draft class is all going into the final year of their contracts. They've got two first-round picks that, based on the way Goody talked, are both going to get the fifth-year option, Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt. But after that, you've got Christian Watson. You've got Romeo Doubs. You've got Zach Tom. You've got Rashid Walker. So you've got your two of your theoretical starting wide receivers and your two starting tackles, all part of that. How many of those guys are they willing to pay, and what does that do for where they can spend elsewhere? That's all part of the calculus that they have to figure out.
The calculus got a good good shine in the light by our buddy Rob Domofsky this week, talking about Brian Gutekunst's 3-year and 5-year plans, mm-hmm. right? It had a ton of quotes from executives both in Green Bay and across the league praising Goody for his short-term and kind of long-term plan. This would be quote-unquote year three mm-hmm. of the 3-year plan. Do you view this? I know Goody doesn't believe in windows. You and I joke about that all the time. But do you view this as the real beginning of the window now as we start having those conversations, right? This could be the last year for X on this, or not X being Xavier McKinney, but X player on this contract, right? So you view this as the beginning of the championship window?
No, I mean, I think the window opened this year.
Oh, you did?
I mean, I think they cracked the window unexpectedly in 2023 when they were clearly rebuilding. Like, again, revisionist historians can look at it however they want, but you don't trade Rasul Douglas if you think you're going to be playing in the divisional round playoffs.
Right.
You just don't, and Goody can say what he wants, but don't tell me. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I go by actions. And the actions that he did this past offseason of moving on from an older running back, signing Josh Jacobs, signing Xavier McKinney, tells me that he believed they opened the window unexpectedly, perhaps, right away. And his messaging about urgency and all that kind of stuff and being ready to compete for championships, the urgency part indicates to me that he thought that they had the pieces to put together a run this year. And obviously they fell short of that. And, you know, he's put his team and himself on blast for what he said to us. I mean, you know, that was an interesting response from him. Mm-hmm. I always tell you that it's about the answer, not the question. But there had been a lot of happy talk during that press conference about growth and improvement. And that answer came from me saying, in I think the last question of the presser, you know, you still went 11-6. And you still lost in the first round of the playoffs. And that was what prompted that answer. And I thought it was a pretty strong statement from the general manager. So the window is open. He can say he doesn't believe in windows. But if he's operating on 3-5-year plans, those would indicate – you can call them whatever you want. Call it a 5-year plan, but it's – probably more like a 5-year window if you wanted to use that term instead.
That's the term I would use, right? Yeah. Because when you look at the way this roster has been constructed, you have all these guys that Jordan Love has kind of grown up with, mm-hmm. and we don't know if they're going to be on the team in 2 years, right? Some of those guys, you mentioned Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson, who will be first up in a couple of years in terms of contract extension. More likely reunion and, technically free agency. On the offense, Davante Adams. Defensively, Rasul Douglas, who you just mentioned, is a free agent. More likely to have a reunion in Green Bay.
Boy, those are two guys that both have won our Tom Mulhern Stand-Up Guy Award. So from a reporter's perspective, I hope it's both.
Both, yeah.
From a team perspective, I mean, again, he Rasul Douglas was playing really, really good football when they moved on from him. And I think there's kind of a false narrative about him in terms of the idea that, you know, he was some sort of problematic locker room guy. Yeah, he was questioning authority. He was questioning Joe Barry.
Who they fired
yeah. subsequently. So the idea that maybe he knew what he was talking about. Matt LaFleur was very vehement after that trade. He was not a locker room problem. He's one of their leaders. Guys looked up to him. The dynamic has changed now with Xavier McKinney in there, with Jaire Alexander likely not being in there. So I would never say never on that. But, you know, again, the Adams piece is another interesting thing, right? Like, I don't know what Aaron Glenn has planned in New York. Mm-hmm. Does he plan on he's left the door open at least, refusing to answer any substantive question about Aaron Rodgers' future with that team. But if Aaron Rodgers is back, I would think that they would want to rework Davante Adams' contract to make it more manageable so he can stay too. I still feel like it's unlikely that Rodgers is back, but if he's not back, then I would think that they would kind of start all over with everybody and allocate that money. I mean, Davante Adams is scheduled to have a $35 million base salary this year. No one gets paid that. Like, that has to be either adjusted for him to stay there, or he's got to be released or traded with an adjusted contract to make that work for his new team. But, yeah, he's dropped a whole lot of breadcrumbs, that's for sure. He may not be related to Kay Adams, but he sure has told her a lot and made a lot of references to the Packers. So I don't know if there's mutual interest, but hard not to think that Devontae has interest.
Yeah, hard not to. As him and his cousin chop it up, it seems like three times a week how often we're seeing clips of him talking about the Packers. As we talk about Devontae, I've thought way too long and hard about this. I'm starting to get to the point where I don't know that pass catcher will be a position they address through free agency. Like they did last year, I think they might enter the season with hopes that one of these guys emerges. Obviously, that didn't happen in 2024, but I would not be shocked or floored if they are just to run it back. Obviously, you're going to be without Christian Watson at the very least the early parts of next season. But that's the position where I would not be surprised if they don't address it outside of maybe a mid-round pick. I mean, that's kind of where I've landed. I think they're going to focus more in terms of free agency and early picks. Corner, pass rush, offensive line. I wouldn't be shocked if they don't address pass catcher, especially through free agency.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're getting T. Higgins.
No, I don't either.
Even if he doesn't return to the Bengals, I would assume he'll get franchise tagged. I would assume they'd extend Ja'Marr Chase and then tag him, and then they'd have the flexibility to do what Goody did with Devontae, which is trade him and get assets for him. No, I don't think that's likely either. Sooner or later they're going to draft the wide receiver in the first round.
You think?
Sooner or later.
It's been since Javon Walker, man.
Right.
It's been a long time.
And that was 2004.
They've drafted two quarterbacks in the first round since then.
Right. So that's I still love Rodgers sitting on McAfee on draft night when they drafted Jordan Love, thinking, we haven't picked an offensive skill position player since we picked me. And I think he really thought it was going to be a wide receiver, and instead it was his replacement. So, again, I don't know what the wide receiver class is going to look like. It doesn't seem like it's as strong as some previous years where seven guys have gone in the first round. But I think they will address it. I think they will address it sometime within the first 2 days of the draft because of the uncertainty with Christian Watson. Sure. I mean, if he's back in late November, great. But in what capacity is he back? How much does he look like himself? It's one thing for T.J. Hockenson to come back in mid-November from a similar timeline from his ACL. T.J. Hockenson wasn't running a 4.3. So that's a big question mark. And then you also have questions about all the other guys that you've drafted because none of them really elevated.
Right.
Right? I mean, I think we all, Rob Domofsky did a piece on ESPN.com about, Jaden Reed being a potential 100-catch guy. He ended up with 50 catches again. I'm on record saying that I believe that Dontavian Wicks is the most talented guy in that group, and he ended up, I think, with the same number of catches he had as a rookie, and more drops. So that is a group that just did not elevate to the degree that anyone, including Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, and those players themselves probably expected. So. I think they will add there because of the uncertainty with Christian Watson and the uncertainty of contracts. I mean, you've got these stacked up now of Watson and Dobbs in their contract years. Then next year, Wicks and Reed are going to be in contract years. So they've got to figure out how they're going to replenish that.
Always enjoy this conversation. We'll have a couple more. But last thing for you this week before we get you over to Wildy and Tausch is the Super Bowl is obviously set. It's Eagles-Chiefs. Now that I've slept on it for a few days, I'm actually very excited for this game. These are two of, if not the two best teams all season long in the NFL. And despite this being a Super Bowl we saw 2 years ago and the Chiefs being in another Super Bowl, and I understand the fatigue, I think this is going to be a really fun game. And obviously, the potential to see history is pretty cool. No team has ever won three Super Bowls in a row, despite the Packers, obviously, in the late 1920s, early 1930s, and what was it, the 1960s, winning three championships in a row. I'm excited for the Super Bowl. You in? You with me?
Nope.
No, you're not.
No. I know Kendrick Lamar is a talented cat.
Sure is.
He is not in my heavy rotation on my Spotify playlists, but I know Sydney's excited about him. I'm not enthralled with the Chiefs. I do have Chiefs fatigue. It would be interesting. I don't know how Packers fans would feel if the Eagles win this game. Would they look at it as that could have been us? I don't think you should. But
I wouldn't.
But it does tell you, you know, one of the things that I think we'll probably end up discussing as this show moves forward is the way they use their quarterback in their run game and what that could do for both Jordan Love and the offense, but also for Josh Jacobs. So, look, I always watch the Super Bowl. Everyone pretty much does.
Yep.
But I'm more interested in if there's going to be any really memorable commercials than I am in the actual matchup.
Heads or tails on the coin toss?
I think it'll be like that flip in Arizona where it never turns over.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, you know, that was one of many signs that that wasn't going to work out for the Packers that day.
There you go. Jason Wilde on social at Jason J. Wilde. You can get me at Alex_Strofe and at Strofe ESPN. Jason, I'll talk to you next week ahead of Super Bowl 59.
You will indeed, buddy. Thanks.
Another edition of Weekly Wilde in the books.